This podcast is brought to you by BearRadio.net, eclectic gay music 24/7.
Greetings. Thanks for joining us here on Spunk Daddy's Bear Soup, a friendly little get-together here in our huge backyard hot tub. Plenty of room for every bear, every cub, whatever, whomever. Just drop trow and drop that big hairy bod into the drink. You're just in time for Bear Soup. This week, I'll be reading from an essay in I Do, I Don't, Queers on Marriage, the Lambda Literary Award-winning anthology, edited by Greg Wharton and Ian Phillips, and published by Suspect Thoughts Press. The March 15th, 2004 cover illustration for The New Yorker magazine, entitled Dress Reversal by Mark Ulrichsen, depicts two attractive betrotheds trying on identical wedding gowns in adjoining mirrors. On the right stands a young female, the traditional blushing bride. On the left, a definitely bearish male, sporting a trim Van Dyke and curly chestnut brown chest hair, gazes at his own seductive image in the mirror. The woman is astonished not at her own gorgeous reflection, but at that of the other, hirsute bride-to-be. I can imagine myself as that goateed, hairy-chested bridegroom in lace. I can construct myself as wearing a wedding gown because genderfuck is a typically queer expression of my homo-macho-bearish psyche. Whether I look better in a gown or a tux, or in a silver lamé jumpsuit for that matter, is someone else's entirely subjective opinion. But this vision of myself as bride-slash-groom doesn't reflect some unconscious desire to buy into an essentially classist, sexist, capitalistic 1970s American dream of domestic bliss. Two or more same-gender folks getting hitched just seems more subversive than conformist, even if by having weddings, many of these couples are blindsided by the wedding industry into buying into some suburban Barbie doll utopia. On Monday morning, May 17th, 2004, the first day of legal same-sex marriage ceremonies in Massachusetts, I went from Providence, Rhode Island, to Provincetown, the first town statewide to assert its intention to accept applications for marriage from non-resident same-sex couples. I wanted to hear stories from these brave lovers, the dozens of couples that came to P-Town on that temperate day from down Commercial Street, across the Bay State, and as far away as Florida, to assert their essential human right to love whom they choose. These people, of all different shapes, sizes, colors, and genders, were there to love, to be loved, and to have their love and commitment recognized and honored by all. Among the newlyweds I encountered, I interviewed two handsome husbands, Chuck Walker and his partner of 2 years, Mike Reed, from Woods Hole, Massachusetts. The woofy couple emerged radiantly from town hall, wearing complimentary, fur-revealing open-neck shirts, beautifully hand-sewn by Chuck. As they examined their license papers, Chuck said, "I've got goosebumps." And indeed, we could see the excited flesh on his hairy arms. As a couple living together, Mike and Chuck exemplify the need for same-sex civil marriage. Mike, a self-employed builder, can now gain access to less expensive health care through Chuck's workplace insurance. An example of the difference in cost to their household, they explained, was the prenup blood work. Only $5 for Chuck, but for Mike, more than $100. Earlier, state troopers in bright orange jackets and local police walked conspicuously through the gathering crowd, but their stolid presence felt assuring rather than threatening. Mike expressed some fear that the powers that be would strip them of their rights one way or another before their dream of marriage could be consummated. For now, however, among the scattering of couples in front of town hall, receiving blessings from dozens of cheering well-wishers, chatting with the international and local media, both Chuck and Mike felt safe that their dreams to be married would be realized. They were prepared to wait the 3 days until Thursday, May 20th, when relatives arrived in Provincetown for a simple ceremony with a local justice presiding. Their immediate plans were to get some breakfast, explore the town, and upon return to Woods Hole, simply dig into some home reno. This legal marriage of Mike and Chuck threatens no one who is not on the defensive. The logic of blaming same-gender couples for the collapse of traditional marriage just escapes me. Why not blame it on Britney? Why are right-wing spokespersons mum about her morally bankrupt 48-hour photo op marriages? Sure, she's an easy target, but flaunting her superstar privilege still models immoral behavior to children. Ironically, religious and societal hypocrisy has sunk pavestones in the road to civil rights for gays, lesbians, bis, trans, and queer folk. Who can blame us for walking that path the first chance we get? Many heterosexuals apparently think that the decline of marriage is about everything but their own acts of explicit gender violence, the shadow side of complicit repression of sexual and gender variance. Will gay marriage prove itself yet another amazing queer socio-cultural innovation? Certainly it is a large-scale revaluing, a reinvestment of millions of Americans' citizens' commitment to others' welfare that inspires, and yes, threatens the old social institution in a far-reaching arc toward a 21st century society. Americans must be made to hear the pleas of thousands of queer families formed from love and respect who are, no matter how blackly anyone tries to paint us, simply asking for the human right to choose whom we want to love and to love us. An essential human right, whether you're gay, straight, bi, trans, lesbian, bear, or anything else. You've been listening to the essay, Moving the Mountain, A Love Story, written by myself, Ron Serratia, as published in the anthology, I Do, I Don't, Queers on Marriage, edited by Greg Wharton and Ian Phillips, and published by Suspect Thoughts Press. Hey, I'll be reading at the Vermont Bear Film Festival, along with organ accompaniment, on Saturday, August 27th at 4 p.m. in Guilford, Vermont. My buddy, Kevin Bowe, writer and star of the short film A Bear's Story, will be there. Registration is cheap, so come on down and bring the whole damn bear club. Get info on my website, Serratia.com. That's Serratia.com. Or Google Vermont Bear Film Festival. In any case, I hope to see you there. Thanks for tuning your furry ears here to Bear Soup.
You have been listening to Bear Soup. Send your questions and comments to bearsoup@bearradio.net.